go to the Lord in prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we pray that thy kingdom would come and thy will would be done right here on earth, Father, just as it is in heaven. Lord, help us to be faithful to you, Lord, that we may be counted worthy to be a part of your glorious kingdom. Give us wisdom, Father, courage to be faithful, to stand up against this world and against ourselves, to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, the Christ from heaven that came into this earth to teach us how to live and how to be children of our Father which is in heaven. I was really blessed this morning with the songs, the music. The first two just fit right with what I want to talk about. He fills my heart with joy, my lips attuned for praise, and to the glory I'll devote the remnant of my days. And then I just really was blessed by that. And then the other one, teach me the measure of my days, thou maker of my frame. I would survey life's narrow space and learn how frail I am. That is something that is very, when you look at how frail you and I are and how frail this world is. I mean, the world is scared to death that this we're just on the verge of collapse, that the earth is just about to end. They're all scared of that because they know the frailty of this framework that God has put together. And it's just a blessing to know that God is still holding it together. Without God, I mean, the sun could hiccup and we'd all be just fried in a moment. But we know that God holds all those things in His hand. But we also need to remember the frailty of our days. That we are here, that life is just but a span. And what we have, one of the things that is that what we have is not our own. I want to turn to Luke chapter 16. Verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accursed unto him, or accused unto him, that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and set down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to the other, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And he said, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. We'll stop right there just for a moment. Sometimes I've wondered about this, why the Lord would commend this man for being unjust. But He wasn't commending him for his unjustness. He was commending him for the wisdom that he had in seeing that the position that he was in was failing and making preparations for one that was going to last. That's all he was doing. He was commending him for realizing that the situation that he was in was going to end. And he was making provisions. This is an account. It says, a rich man had a steward. You and I are nothing but stewards. We'll go on and read a little more here. We are nothing but stewards. Everything in this world belongs to God. Your life, your body, everything is God's. And you are just given the responsibility to take care of what He's given you. Many times people use this and say, I don't know how many times I've heard this. It's nothing more than a cloak of covetousness. They always put it into money. Oh, God's given me money so I can be a good steward. I need to go out and make more. Or I need to be real careful that I don't spend it because I'm a steward. That is exactly what He is not interested in. Your money means nothing to God. It is absolutely nothing. I mean, in reality, you have a dollar. What is it? It's just a piece of paper that someone thinks is valuable. That the whole world is deceived into thinking that this paper is valuable. It's nothing but a piece of paper with some ink on it. It has no value at all except in the minds of men. And the whole world is going after it. But it is nothing. Stewardship is the responsibility that God has given you to take care of your soul. The things of this life, Jesus taught, are as nothing. God is not going to hold you up and say, I gave you $1,000. Well done. You've just really guarded every way, every penny of that money that I've given you. You've just really taken care of it. In fact, you've bought another farm and you've just increased that. Oh, blessing to you. That is not the way it's going to be. God is going to say, why did you get so tangled up in something that is absolutely worthless? Why did something that is so valueless occupy all of your time? The Lord commended this man because He saw that the position that he was in was going to be taken away from him. And he saw, I've got to make preparations for what's ahead of me, not for what's right in front of me. We spend all of our time working on what's right in front of us, and we lose sight of eternity and what's real. The things that we possess are not ours. They're just given to us. They're just borrowed. They're somebody else's. And they're not ours. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. This world loves its money. And whenever you treat it as nothing and just give it away, they just love you for that. They really like it when that happens. And you're making friends of them. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? We are working for a time when we will be given something that's our own. We're not living in that time. Everything that we have is God's. Everything that we possess is the Lord's. And He's just seeing if we're going to build on the unrighteous mammon of this world with what He's given, or we're going to take what He's given and turn it in and show ourselves faithful in these little things so that He can trust us with something in eternity. I believe our free will is going to be a free will for eternity. That when we get to heaven, we won't be there because we're fenced in by gates of pearl and have a big wall around us, and now we've just got to stay in there. Heaven is going to be for those who belong there, who have proven that they want that more than anything in this world, and they've proven themselves faithful by how they handled what God has given them. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You can't serve two masters. The Pharisees, who were covetous. What if we put just possessive of what is mine in there? Just possessive of what I own is there? Would that be doing harm to what covetousness means? A lot of times we've got the idea that covetous is somebody that's just trying to grab and get and grab and get, and get as much and pile up as much as they can. Be as rich as they can. Well, that's an idea of covetousness, but I don't think it's the whole thing. Covetousness is just wanting to keep what you got. I think there's a real part of covetousness that's just trying to keep what you got. Jesus said, don't lay up riches on this earth, where moth doth rust, and or moth corrupts, and or tries to eat a hole in, and rust corrupts and corrodes. You know, when men get something, the first thing they have to do is start trying to figure out a way how they're going to keep it. They got to lock it up and keep somebody else out of it. They've got to protect it and do all kinds of things to keep it from corroding and just vanishing away again. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. These things will all perish, and they're all going to fall by the way. there's something much more important. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination of God to God. This all goes together with this steward. Men, what do they love? What do they appreciate? What do they really put value in that in reality has no value at all? It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. I wanted to bring that out. Start right there. And I just want to just reflect just a little bit. One of my songs that I don't know if I agree with all of it, but one that really has always been something that stirred me is "Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been." One part of that says, "Lord, the things that I own and that bring joy to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Remind me, Lord. Remind me that I'm frail. Remind me that I'm but a small creature that possesses nothing except my will to serve you." Just reflect a little bit. Think back in my life. Whenever I first began reading the teachings of Jesus, and I began to see the importance of the teachings of Jesus instead of religion. And He said, "Sell what you have and follow Me." And what that implied, to me was just letting go. And just giving up me owning anything, me possessing anything, me having control or having anything that was my own. And just saying, "I'll just be in this life. I give up the things that I'm trying to hold on to." And when I gave that up, I lost a bunch of things I didn't think was included in that. But they weren't mine either. They were just a responsibility that I was given for a time. Just a frail thing that could be taken away from me. To see how faithful I would be. Since I gave up, I've looked back, and everything since then that God has given me has been for another man's. Has belonged to someone else, or someone else has tried to claim possession of that, or someone else has tried to hold on to this thing, and I've just been given responsibility or charge of it. I work for people, and my responsibility is to keep their things in order. And I've thought about that, and I thought, you know, whenever I'm given a responsibility, and I told the people I work for, whenever I started working for them, "I'll treat this just like it was mine. Just like it was my possession." But it's not. But as I work for you, and I'm your servant, I'll treat everything just like it belongs to me. And that's the way I've tried to live my life. Whenever I'm working for another man, I'm going to take care of his whatever charge he's had, whether it's taking care of cows or trees or farms or building fence, whatever it is, I want to do it just like it actually belonged to me. But yet, it doesn't. I'm responsible for it. I'm responsible for taking care of those things. But at the end of the day, I walk away with the clothes on my back, and that's all I've got. The same responsibility's there because I've taken it just like it's mine, but it belongs to someone else. And that's what God has given us. And that's the whole thing about what this whole life is about. The things that you own are not yours. You are just looking over them for someone else. They do not belong to you. God has just given you the responsibility of them. The very soul that God has given you, the very life that He has given you, the very body that He has given you, don't belong to you. It belongs to someone else. It belongs to our God, who created all things and brought them into being for Himself, not for you, for Him. What we have don't belong to us. We are just taking care of it for another man. I wanted to talk to the men because that's what this is about. You men, the things that you have don't belong to you. They're just given to you to take care of for another man. Don't get caught up in yourself. I mean, the early church, they counted what they owned as nothing. They counted what they owned as not belonging to them, but to belonging to everyone else. When God made man in the Garden of Eden, He wasn't going around trying to pile up stuff for Himself. Say, this is mine, you can't have it. This is mine, this is mine, this is mine. That wasn't what God wanted. But He gave him a responsibility to tend it and to take care of it. You know, at the end of the day, if we've worked all day and we get to the end of the day and we find out everything that we've done didn't really matter. We're just going to come in and bulldoze it. We get all kind of upset. Why? You mean I worked like that for nothing? No. We worked that way because what we were doing belonged to someone else. And we were just taking care of what someone else has given us. And you know what? In eternity, whenever everything in this world burns up, there's going to be a lot of people saying, you mean I spent my whole life working for all this and it's taken away in a moment? You mean I spent my life taking care of all of these things and just in a moment's time, it's all gone? Didn't mean a thing. It's over. Not one thing that you tried to pile up in this world is going to pass through eternity. What a devastating thought that's going to be to multitudes of people. Man said last night as we was walking by, he kind of had a confused statement, but I don't know what all he meant by it. But he said Lazarus is still in hell wishing for a drink of water and a brand new Corvette. Well, he meant the rich man, I think. And that rich man could care less about a brand new Corvette right now. But I'll guarantee you he's still wishing he had a drop of water on his tongue. He's still wishing he had a drop of water. He wasted his life trying to get a brand new Corvette. He wasted his life trying to pile up all the things that were highly esteemed among men. And now all he wants is a drop of water. All that he worked for all of his life just came to nothing as soon as he entered the door of eternity. Soon as he left his body and entered in to the eternal realm, that which is real, everything else went to nothing. Whatever he did in this life didn't matter anymore. Only those things that were eternal lasted, made it through. Men, don't waste your life pursuing after those things. God has given you a responsibility. Your family is your responsibility. They're not really yours. Soon as death happens, they're not yours anymore. They don't belong to you. You're just given the responsibility over them for a little while. Your children are not your children. They're the responsibility that God has given you for a little while. What makes you think your children are any more valuable than the one running down the street? They're not. You've just been given some responsibility over these. Bible says, you husbands, you're to love your wives. 1 Peter says that you're to look after them as a weaker vessel. Your home is your responsibility. It's your responsibility. We talked about the woman last week. You know, I'm more and more convinced that what Eve did in the Garden of Eden, whenever she chose to disobey her husband, is what every woman has to face and return to. The woman, if she is not right with her husband, cannot be saved. That's the thing that turned the whole race on its head and set the whole race against God. And a woman that is not submitted to her husband, I don't care if she's wearing a covering, I don't care if she's got 10 children, training them up to wear coverings, wearing long dresses, I don't care if she can study the Bible and do all of those things. I don't care what kind of experience she can have. If she's not submitted to her husband, she's lost. I just wanted to make that really clear. She's not right with God. And husbands, you're to love your wives as Christ loved the church. The church is to submit itself to its head, Christ. And the church is putting its trust in Jesus Christ, that He is the leader. And it's submitted itself to Him. I've had to give my life away because I believe what Christ says. And I submit myself to Him because I trust Him and I believe Him and I know that what He said was true and right. What He said about this world and my responsibility in it is right. And I've given up the gain that this world offers, that which is highly esteemed among men, because I am trusting in Him. And a wife is putting that same kind of confidence in submitting to the head that God has given to her. A weaker vessel submitting herself to her husband or to her head, to the authority, to her father. She's trusting. And I just want to say, you know, Jesus talked about offending one of these little ones. And it'd be worse for a man to offend. It'd be better if a millstone was tied about his neck and him thrown into the ocean or to the sea than it would be to offend one of these little ones. Husbands, you have the responsibility for your little ones, your weaker ones. And if you abuse that, woe unto you. If you miss that, woe unto you. If you take advantage, woe unto you. If you mislead or misguide, woe unto you. Your children are not an inconvenience to your religion, to your holiness. Your children are your responsibilities. Your children, the Bible says our souls are more valuable than everything. If he gained the whole world and lose his own soul, what's he gained? The souls that God has put in your charge are not yours. They're the responsibility that God has given you to take care of. Don't just send them away because they're inconvenient. Don't see him as a burden. He's placed him in your charge. Take it seriously. Those that are under you, that you're responsible for, doesn't mean you're a dictator. They have their own will. You need to guide them and lead the way Christ led us. He shows us the way and makes a worthy example to be followed. Not getting caught up, not getting turned aside. Not getting possessive of what this world offers, but just being a godly example. Being what God intended for man to be. If a man can't take care of something that belongs to someone else, how will he ever take care of anything that belongs to himself? He won't. If we're not faithful in this little that God has given us, if we get turned aside by the things that this world esteems, we've missed it. And not only will that which we've been given be taken away, we won't be given anything else. We've got a big responsibility. Sometimes it's difficult to make those decisions. Sometimes it's difficult. But it's what God wants us to do. What we have in this world is not our own. It's God's. The soul that we've been entrusted with is not our own. It's God's. And we're either building for eternity or we're building on the worthless sand of this world. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Help us, Lord, I pray, to keep eternity in mind. Lord, to see that our lives are so frail, passing so quickly. Lord, help us keep our hearts on things eternal. Give us courage, Father. To be faithful, to do Your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anything you want to share?
Taking pride in taking responsibility and being the best we can, and then next thing you know, what you worked for and did the best you could just gets thrown out the window or messed up. Then you might get your dandruff a little bit. Kind of frustrated. So I just ask for your prayer on that. I appreciate it.
God's working on our souls, not on how good a job we've done. And if He has to take everything we've done with our hands away to make our soul a little better, He's glad to do it. Because that's what it's about. And if it takes taking all those things away and it has to show us a little pride that has to be removed, that's what it's for. It's for your soul. It's for your eternal good. Not what we think we've accomplished in this world.
That verse in Psalm 90 that says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Things look different at times when the reality of eternity is right in front of our eyes. If someone else dies that you know we know or close to, or if Brother Fabio's experience, if he thought he was going to die, he just saw things so differently. And I used to think. I kind of know how it is. Then after a while, you know, that seems kind of distant and reality settles in. But just as I was sitting here, I was wondering if that is reality, if we got a glimpse of reality, you know. And then after a while, you get further away from that and the fog of this life clouds the reality. We got a glimpse of. So, want to share that.
Whenever we were in Mexico, we talked about the ambition or the excitement of youth. I just have to distinguish two things here. Whenever I was growing up, I would see young preachers and they would just be all excited and just preaching and just really telling people what for. And then after a year or so, they just kind of blended into their theology and I would listen and I would hear the old women in the back say, "Oh, he's matured so nicely." And I've looked back on that and I've thought, they didn't mature, they died. But there's an ambition and a zealousness that's youthful. And it's good. And what we were talking about is like ordaining another brother. And you want to get a brother past that zealous. And I mean zealous, I mean just to really having a good time going out there. It's exciting. Going out and preaching and talking to people and getting all excited about it. And it's fun for a while. But then after a while, the fun wears off. And it gets harder and harder. And it becomes work. But you still keep doing it. The fire of excitement burns down. And I mentioned it. The fire of excitement burns down and now there's nothing but just coals there. But they're still heating those coals. It's not all exciting anymore. But they're still putting heat out. It's still doing what it needs to be doing. And that's what we were looking for. What we're looking for in a someone to ordain. Someone that the excitement's all died down. But now there's some good, solid coals to keep it going. And it's not just the excitement going down and then I change course and just give up on what's right and just kind of blend in now and fit along and go along. That's death. But when the excitement dies down and those coals, whenever it isn't so fun, you get down to what's real. Whenever you go through life, like we were talking about this morning, and it's just not all that much fun. But we got to rise up and take our responsibility and not get sidetracked, but just keep on doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's when faith starts. It doesn't take much faith to run along with the excitement. When the flames are burning high and everything's fun and exciting, it takes faith to press on when all of that's gone. Whenever you're tempted on every side, just to give up. When you get beat up, no one cares. When it gets hard and no one's listening, no one paying attention, and I have to buckle down and say, I'm going to go on anyway. I'm going to go on anyway. I'm going to do what's right anyway. I'm not going to get turned aside about the excitement of life. I'm not going to let that turn me away. I'm going to press on. Be faithful to those things that are of real value.
Lately of God showing me that I'm dust this spring. I mean, I think I needed that.
Amen.
To remind me actually who I am. And I appreciate the message.
Praise the Lord.
Lord bless.
All right, well, Lord willing, we'll have the meal at City Park tonight, be there at 6 o'clock. Brian and I are going to Peru and Brazil Tuesday, so I won't be here this weekend. So pray for us. Brethren in South Dakota are just really examining things there. Now we're going to go ahead and stay for a while. We're trying to encourage a couple of decisions to be made. We'd like to see some of those made. We'll just see how it turns out. We're not on any time schedule. We're just trying to follow the Lord. I really appreciate the message is going out, and I really appreciate that. It's just a real blessing. So, anyone else have anything? And we did not ordain Josue, and we were talking about it, and we didn't do it. We don't, I mean, one should be careful just about, I don't know how many times, this is just a little bit. Five or six times this week I've heard stuff that wasn't right, that was just going around. Be careful. I mean, just about talking and gossiping. I mean, we've just got to be real those things can get out of hand. And like I said, I've heard about, I don't know, four or five different things this week. And I said, where did that come from? So make sure we're probably don't need to be doing as much talking. And then if we are, just because we suppose something is, and it hadn't happened until it's happened. I mean, we talked about this ordination right up until the time we decided not to do it. And it's the right decision right now. But just talking about it don't mean it's happened, because we don't, until it gets there, it ain't there. So, just want you to keep that in mind. Let's encourage you a little bit to be careful. All right. Well, Lord bless you. See you this evening.
God is the God accept.